in Australia today. Five enemy planes were shot down and three damaged when Allied fighters intercepted a force of 18 Zero-type Japanese fighters at Hood Bay, 60 miles southeast of Port Moresby. One of our planes is missing. This engagement was reported in a communique issued today by General Headquarters. The communique also reports night raids by Allied bombers on Dili in Timor and Rabaul in New Britain. At Dili, direct hits were made on buildings in the target area. All of our planes were killed. At Rabaul, our bombers concentrated on the roof. Two large fires were started. All our planes returned from this mission. Nearly one-fifth of the Allied air crews in the Middle East are Australians, according to a dispatch received today from official war correspondent Kenneth Schlesser. Most of the airmen are attached to the Royal Air Force Squadron. But in addition, the Australian fighter squadron flying American Kitty Hawk has again distinguished itself. Schlesser says this squadron took a leading part early this week both in patrol and the scouting of the gathering enemy forces. It was in the air almost continuously during the first day and inflicted terrible damage on German supply columns and lines of communication. American, British and Australian war correspondents have been taken behind the scenes at three training camps in Australia. They inspected four Australian and one American training area. They pushed all day over rough and rain-swept terrain in vehicles ranging from galloping quarter-ton beasts to 28-ton tanks. They saw a convincing demonstration of the United Nations' growing strength in the Southwest Pacific Basin. They saw an Australian armored division, powerfully equipped with medium and light tanks, which have arrived recently from the United States. They inspected other army equipment of the latest type, which is here in quantity. And they saw Australian and American troops in the field, training with vigor and spirit, as if they were not an hour to be lost. One Australian soldier expressed that spirit when he affectionately patted the side of his General Grant, as the M3 medium tanks would be nicknamed, and said, "I don't know where we are going, but I hope we get into the fight soon. We really could do something for the Japs with these babies." The Melbourne Herald newsman says the crews of the armored vehicle was the best physical sight and in perfect condition. They have to be just to carry out this one of their daily exercises. After training, each man has to run 2.5 miles over rough country wearing his full equipment. He must make it in 25 minutes or less. And if he doesn't, he has to dig a slit trench. So far, no one has failed, and the best time for the run stands at 15 minutes 45 seconds. The amazing story of a 530-mile trek through the wilds of New Guinea, with the heroism of a hospital matron as a highlight, was told in Australia today by one of the parties, Mr. Dean Cunningham. He told too of the courage of a priest in flying an old condemned plane for assistance, and of the party leader's ingenuity in getting thousands of natives to dance for 3 nights so that the ground would be pounded hard enough to take a plane's wheel. 70 refugees formed the party. It was led for about half the way by Michael Lay, an explorer, and through country, some of which had not been seen before by white men. The weather proved friendly and helped the refugees to find food. Although she was still ill herself, that at times she had to be carried, Miss Joyce Jones, who had been matron at the Madang Hospital, tended to all the sick each time the party halted. Blistered feet and sore legs were her chief cases, but she nursed back to health one man suffering from a Japanese fever. Miss Jones was also the party's chef, and at the last resting place where they waited until rescue came, she kept them well supplied with meals of bush eggs, brown sugar, wild pig, cow cow, and pumpkin. All credit for the party's eventual rescue is given to Father Glover, the Roman Catholic priest, who walked back to the starting point of the trek and secured a condemned plane in which he took news of the party's flight to Australia. Father Glover had flown only a few times previously, but he piloted the rickety craft to within a few miles of the Australian coast before the engine let him down. Natives rescued him from the sea and took him by canoe to civilization. Thus it was, 1 month after Father Glover left the Escapees, a rescue plane returned forward. The party had not been idle and had prepared a landing ground. Having cleared an area in the bush, the leader of the party enlisted the support of natives from miles around to make the ground hard enough for a plane to taxi on. This they did by dancing almost continuously for 3 nights, stamping the ground with their bare feet. A new system of aptitude tests is being introduced into the Australian military forces. It is to ensure that men are employed in the army in the capacities for which they are best equipped by natural ability and civilian specialist training. The tests are essentially practical. They include general knowledge tests and others framed to determine the man's suitability for training in mechanical or other capacities. It is planned to apply the tests first to recruits as they are taken in at the reception depot. Later, they will be applied throughout the army. Continuing this news bulletin from our club. The Commonwealth is considering a scheme of federal control of meat to ensure maintenance of supplies for service, civil and canning purposes. At present, the Commonwealth Meat Board controls all export meat and its powers are to be widened by national security regulations. It's probable that the board will be empowered to buy all meat at the points at which it is slaughtered and to direct its distribution. The board may decide meat quotas for the services and for the civil population, and will probably authorize the quantity to be slaughtered in any given period. To conserve rolling stock on the railways for essential purposes, ordinary civilian travel is to be restricted from June the 9th. Civilians will have to complete special application forms at the booking offices. Then the transport authority in each state will determine what order of priority is to be given. That ends today's news roundup.